Welcome to Sustainable Sessions, hosted by yours truly, Lucas and Lauren. Episode 22, featuring Eco Amicole.
So hi, my name is Christine. I'm an actress, I'm a content creator, and now I'm an entrepreneur. I have my own beauty cosmetics business, and I make all my products from scratch. So I've been making my own skincare and makeup for over 10 years. And when I went on TikTok, a video went viral and a lot of people wanted to buy. So that's why I started my business in January. And it was, it was crazy because I had no intention of opening a business. I'm an actress. So it was like, how do I do this? So there was a lot of, I didn't know what to do. Where do I make a website? Like, what do I do? So yeah, it was really hard. And with cosmetics, it's very different because you have to get your cosmetics notified by Health Canada. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, so many people want to buy, but it takes a while to get these things notified. So my business really started rolling in about July, August.
Awesome. That's so cool. Honestly, that's a good problem to have, is like too much demand. Yeah. And you can't. So that's really cool. And yeah,
I had to tell people to wait. It was like, I'm not really open yet.
No, I was even going through your website just like before this, and I saw it was like a lot of loose powder type of makeup. So I don't know if you want to like talk a little bit like about the ingredients, like maybe kind of give a description for the listeners. Yeah.
So I make the loose powders I make are like foundation powder, because I originally made my makeup for camera. And I wanted something to like get rid of shine, but not really hide who I was as a person. Because I think acting, it's not about, you know, covering who you are. They hire you because of you. So my makeup is mostly like enhancing your natural beauty, but not making you flawless. Like not making you into somebody else to like, you know, correct a blemish or anything like that. And by using my makeup, I noticed that my skin got a lot better. Because I wasn't adding, like I used to wear foundation from those plastic bottles and then I would have breakouts for the next few days. So I would only wear them for auditions, but then it would ruin my skin. So when I started making my own, I noticed that I could wear it every day because it was mostly made of natural products. The only ingredient that I source synthetic is mica powder, which is synthetic because of the, you know, child labor. I didn't want to buy into that. So everything else is natural. I'll use arrowroot powder to like mattify the skin instead of using talc. And it was, when I started making it, it was really, I went into the kitchen and saw what it had. It's like, okay, I have like cocoa powder. What can I do with this? So there was a lot of trial and error. I think it took me 2 years to develop my mascara. Wow. Really bad, like it was like leaking, and I have really watery eyes, so it took me 2 years to develop that, but that's something that I'm really proud of, that I can have a mascara that I don't have to buy a tube. And fun fact, you know, when you buy those tube mascaras, you're supposed to throw them away every 3 months because they harvest bacteria. Because you're putting them on, putting it into the container all the time. So it creates a lot of pollution. And I was trying to extend the life when I was wearing mascara, but then it was like, I've had this for a year. Is this really safe for me to put? Yeah. So by having, like making my own, I felt better to make small quantities, and I get to wash the wand between my use instead of keeping it into the bottle.
No, that's so awesome. And like, just as an entrepreneur, hearing your story of like all that trial and error, like all like,
yes.
I don't want to say hardship, but
truly
like,
kind authentic.
Of, yeah, like really working through all the process. Like that's what it's all about. And honestly, even beyond that, now when you're starting your website and doing stuff, like you just have to figure it out as you go and it'll fall into place as you go. So really inspiring to hear
and
that.
And I like that you use like sustainable packaging and like talking about the cleanliness of like makeup, because like a lot of people don't think about that and people are just constantly buying and consuming. So like maybe if you want to share your thoughts just like on people consuming, we can kind of like go into there as well.
I found at the beginning when I was creating content for TikTok, I would only do beauty stuff. My friend told me like stay in your niche, and I would do beauty, but I realized that most beauty people didn't really care about sustainability. And they were like, oh, this is so weird, like having something in a tin. And I got a lot of negative comments because people don't like change. So then I started to incorporate more like, you know, sustainable swaps and what I do to be more sustainable. And I think I got my audience that way instead of going only into makeup, because I find that makeup, people that liked makeup wanted to see the neon colors and all these things, but that was not me. And the makeup that I sell are only makeup, only the colors that I use when I go to auditions.
Nice. Yeah, no, I think to your friend's point as well too, like you were in your niche, but you found like a more narrow niche that totally aligned with everything that you're putting out, and your audience just manifest in there.
And your values too.
Yeah.
With sustainability. Yeah.
So I think it's really important. For me, when I did the trial and error, it wasn't to open a business. It was just, I'm so stubborn, I didn't want to buy mascara, right? So it was mostly my stubbornness and trying to like tweak the ingredient. It was, yeah, it was a lot of a goofy mess.
That's so funny. And yeah, you want to talk a bit about like your experience on TikTok as well. So even now, like how we were able to connect, and now that you've kind of immersed yourself in like the eco talk, let's call it.
Yes.
What has that experience been like for you in terms of like their support and like you learning, like if you want to talk about that?
I love everything that TikTok has brought me. Because I was only acting, and I was just sharing. I did random videos. I think I did a video like once every 2 weeks at the beginning. Randomly, one got viral, and then I continued making. But I find that being in the sustainability niche, I've met so many incredible people, and I got to connect with so many eco-friendly brands. So I don't only do my own brand, but I also help other brands grow too. And I like to do everything.
Awesome.
It's a bit, it's a lot sometimes.
It's such a good community. And like, even Lauren and I, like we talk about it all the time. Like we've made so many great connections and like learned so much as well. Like it's a platform, like unlike anything else.
There's like niches within the niche, like there's so, like the low waste side of things. Like, I don't know if there's like one particular area that you're more interested in, whether you're just doing like your own research, whether that's like plastic pollution or food pollution. Like, has there been any like new topics that you've just been like, wow, like I didn't even know about this?
I've connected with this person. He's more on YouTube and he takes photos of garbage. I don't know if you heard of him. His name is Von Wong and he's Canadian. And he has a YouTube channel and he did a video about plastic pollution and how many straws and how many plastic bottles, and he creates art with it.
Oh wow.
So he did one about, he hired this model to be a mermaid and he put plastic bottles as water, blue, green, and white. And he put this dead mermaid on the ground. Wow. So I thought it was so, shocking, because sometimes I find social media and even TikTok, sometimes it's so flashy and shocking, but it really gets to you, especially those kind of things. And with the music, it's really catchy. But that's what I really like DIYs too. Like I've been doing DIYs since I was a kid.
Yeah. Honestly, like a perfect segue. I was going to ask you that too. So like kind of growing up, as you kind of got into like acting and everything like that too, like where did like the desire to want to, you know, go more DIY, like look into stuff that's more sustainable, healthier, natural, stuff like that. What did you have like your parents or friends or like mentors? Like where did that spark kind of come from?
I always had books, like I went to the library and I had books about how to do this or how to do that and make your own jewelry out of newspaper. It was like, I was that DIY girl, and it was something that I did, I think, because I mean, I didn't come from a really wealthy family and I felt like I had to create my own art and my own fashion. And I got a lot of hand-me-downs from my sister, who's 7 years older. So all the clothes were out of fashion. Like, so I really had to DIY everything. And I think I just had so many different passions. I was part of the environmental group in high school when it wasn't popular. I think we were like four people in the environmental club, and we would pick up garbage around the school. We were like not the cool kids, but now it's a bit more popular. But yeah, I DIY everything, in so much that people would sometimes make fun of me that what are you wearing today?
Is there like a funny or like a one DIY that you just like absolutely love and like just wish more people like knew about? I don't know if you want to like go into some of your content there.
I think it's just mostly making your own makeup is so easy to make. And it's, I find that I teach it, but I sell it because most people don't want to make it. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning, I only wanted to teach. Mm-hmm. So I do teach DIY classes at a store here pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. I used to do bi-weekly classes, how to make your own, you know, vegan milk. And
that's so cool.
All DIY stuff. Make your own deodorant.
Oh my god, I wonder if there's like more, like I would have never even known to like look for different communities, I guess, you can go into. Is this like a common thing, like that people do? It's like
I live really close to a zero waste store. Oh, and nice. The owner found me on YouTube. I started doing YouTube and he's like, well, you should teach at my store. Yeah. And then I started selling makeup and they were the first people to buy my makeup.
Oh, nice.
So I'm available in 6 stores across Canada.
Wow. Yes. Yeah, that's awesome.
That's so cool. Yes.
So it's really, it's grown really fast and it's nice. I guess it's really niche also. Mm-hmm. So they were telling me that I think there's only one other makeup brand in Vancouver that does zero waste makeup. So in Quebec, I know that I'm the only one that does it here.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, and I'm sure you're going to keep going like Canada wide, yeah, like North American wide too. Like that's really awesome. I guess even like when you started that and you're starting to like launch the product and like even just when you're making content on TikTok, if we can talk on that, like what was like your feedback and reception to like the stuff that you're putting out? I know you mentioned like you had a little bit of like negative backlash from like some of like the makeup only niche.
Yes.
What was that kind of like, and like what were kind of the comments that they were getting? Was it just like you weren't,
or like questions that you might be getting?
Oh, it was more like how do you put this on, how are you gonna put this on, this doesn't look very sanitary. Like it was more like they don't, it's not in plastic, they're not used to it. Mm-hmm. So it was like that. But I got a lot of people that were into zero waste would defend it, would be like, you know, because I sell my mask, because I find that when you give something like a plastic bag for free, people will take a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And so my thing is I sell my mascara without the wand. Okay. So like, oh, you're so cheap, you don't give the wand, like but you know, if you had a wand before, you would use it, right? And the most sustainable option is to use your favorite wand over and over again.
Mm-hmm. I just like wash it and clean it, right?
Yes. I mean, I use the same one all the time, but I do sell them separately if people want one and want to gift one. But yeah, it's been very different. And people were telling me like, oh, I'd rather buy the makeup at dollar store. And it's like, okay, this is not my audience. Like they send it to everyone. Dollar store makeup is very different.
Yeah, no, that's the thing with TikTok. Like we found too, like when you put some stuff out, like it honestly, TikTok's like throwing out of the wall sometimes, like whatever sticks. And like you really start to hone in, and then some videos.
Sometimes you want like a little bit of controversy, like maybe something new that people wouldn't have known to see or check out.
Exactly.
Like your makeup's so unique. And I think that's really cool.
Thank you. And I do find that not replying to negative comments is a good thing.
Oh man, you can go down those rabbit holes and it's
just
like,
don't invest in the bad energy. No.
The TikTok comment section. The TikTok comment section can get like vicious sometimes, and like it, honestly it's a good thing sometimes too, because it's like having discussion, but it's so hard to like capture your idea and like a
two sentence, and like, you can't write too much. And also I have to realize sometimes they're really young and they don't know any better, so it's just someone will educate them.
So kind of going into that next part, because you just said educating them, for people that want to like get more resources or learn more about all the stuff that you're doing, where do you recommend that they go, whether it's like books, podcasts,
your
like
YouTube channel,
your like YouTube channel. Yeah, like where do you source like your information for making?
I watched the documentary called Toxic Beauty. Okay. I don't know if you heard of it. It's a Canadian documentary, and they follow this lady who uses, they were saying that women use about 16 beauty products at minimum a day.
Wow.
Shampoo, you know, make like all these.
Like, haven't thought about it, but.
So they did, they followed this lady that wears, I think she wears more than, like, she bleached her hair, like, it was extreme. And they made her take a test, just like a hormonal test, to see, because she wants to have babies later on. Mm-hmm. And then she, the next week, she only used clean products. Like, she didn't wear makeup and things like that. Mm-hmm. And they saw, like, a drastic improvement with her body.
Wow.
Like, yeah, so that's a really good resource. Even they were talking about, like, Johnson & Johnson and how the talc was not good for women, especially ovarian cancer. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that's a good resource. And just YouTube, there's a lot of people on YouTube that make like DIYs. I found all my DIYs off, I mean, I had to tweak a lot. I couldn't find a mascara recipe that would not leak. Mm-hmm. But just taking bits and pieces of each person's recipe and like trying to find the best one. I like Bea Johnson. I read her book before, like, really at the beginning of my journey, I read Bea Johnson, but I think it was a progression that that happened. Like, I liked DIYs, and then that started to be good for the planet, right? Or repurposing and using old clothes. I had no idea until like maybe a few years back. I was like, this all makes sense. Eating healthy, making your own stuff. I can share it online. Yes.
It's interesting to see too, like, from the creation point, like, you only came at it from like by creating things, and then you see all these additional benefits. And I think that's a really cool thing, and like very positive for like your own well-being as well.
Yeah. And some people might come at it from the other perspective, or like they're doing it from a pure environmental sense, but mm-hmm. then there's all the health benefits that they're add-ons that aren't necessarily mm-hmm. the main reason why they started, but are great value adds for them to do it.
Yes.
No, that's awesome. And I think, I guess, a question I would have too is like, so starting your entrepreneurial journey and kind of where you're at now, where do you kind of see things going with your company going forward? And like, what's that? Like, are you excited? Like, what, nervous? Like, what are your kind of your thoughts and like with your business right now?
I'm taking it one step at a time. It can get overwhelming, but even looking back a year from now, I didn't expect opening. So for me, it's mostly day by day. I don't think I can really plan year by year, because you never know what's happening, especially mm-hmm. with COVID. Like, mm-hmm. this is so unexpected. And I'm just taking it, I think, because I come from an acting background, like, you never know if you're going to work 1 year or not. Mm-hmm. So I do take it day by day, and I try to improve myself every single day. So I think continue making content. I do love connecting with other brands and help. I do love making videos a lot, like the most. I love making videos a lot. Makeup is fun, because I used to make makeup only for me, and that would be like once a year. Like, my makeup lasts so long that I don't have to make it every week.
Mm-hmm. So. That's so cool. And even when you're talking about videos too, like, so when did you kind of get on TikTok? There's like one question. And then in that, like, what was your experience with like TikTok versus, like, I'm assuming you're making stuff on YouTube, let's say, but like, what is unique about this platform that you found in terms of like your audience and your reach and like the type of content you're making to like make it stick better? Like, we have a lot of people in the audience that are like, we'll be on TikTok, whether they're trying to grow themselves and whatnot. Like, I'm sure that you'd have some great tips.
It's always interesting to hear people's growth stories. So like, it just happened, like, you got like 50,000 followers on like one video or something.
You know, I didn't get that in one video. But I think that to get followers, it's really not about having a viral video, but being consistent. Because mm-hmm. you can have a viral video and not come back, as long as you give useful information or be really entertaining. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the reason why people will follow you. I find that it's harder to grow on YouTube, because that there's just so, I think that when I came in, there was less creators in the environmental field, mm-hmm. but I find YouTube is so saturated, and the quality of video is different from TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one thing we mentioned with like one of the other guests they had, was like, it's almost like you want to be more authentic on TikTok, and by authentic, I mean like more like
less edited.
Just pull out your phone and just take a video, versus like trying to do like the proper studio setup with YouTube, and it goes a long way. It goes a lot further in TikTok.
I do like it because it's really fast. Like it allows me to do a video a day. I couldn't do a video a day with YouTube. I think I was doing like one a month. It took me too long. But I think YouTube, it's also consistent. My son is a YouTube, he does YouTube. So he's doing really well on YouTube, and watching him grow, it's really different from TikTok. Mm-hmm. Like the first 100 subs on YouTube is so hard.
Yeah.
Whereas TikTok, you could get a viral video and have like thousands of followers the next day. Yeah. So yeah, it's really different.
Oh, that's so cool. And like, obviously even with your son kind of being able to help each other out in terms of like content creation strategies and like,
yes,
with each other, that's
such very different. He's yeah. Like, he does filmmaking, like he does Lego stop motion.
Oh, no,
that's
way.
So cool. That's
yeah.
So cool.
It takes 10 hours for him to do
it. Like, I hope he's doing all that work.
Yeah. So I think he has a video that is at like 90 or 20,000 views.
Wow.
On YouTube.
That's awesome. That's incredible.
At 13, he's 13.
No way. That's honestly, that's inspirational. That makes me want to like make a bunch of YouTube videos today. Yeah. That's so good.
But I think that I don't know if there's too many people that, but he's very like nerdy with this.
It's his niche. That's it.
It's Star Wars
out there that loves it. That's great. That's what he needs.
Yeah, yeah. So I think if you're really passionate about something, just like keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And I think that I think with him, he said it took like 5 months to get his first 100 subs, and then now he's almost at 400 subs.
Wow.
Within the last 2 weeks, right? Between 100.
It's so, the beginning that's like the hard growth, and then it snowballs and goes like at a real compound growth.
And that's
rate.
Like yeah. Anything, even with people in like their sustainability journeys, it doesn't happen overnight. It's like a process, and same thing with like followers or growth. Like everyone's constantly growing.
Yes.
It doesn't happen like overnight. Like it's really that long-term pathway. So I guess even like now in your life, like with your success with TikTok and your business and everything, I'm sure you're very oriented towards like environmentalism. Like has there been things that you learned from TikTok that you're now applying in your life that you didn't even non-makeup related, just like sustainable swaps that you can do for like, I mean, I saw you drinking with the metal straw there, but like,
beyond that. Yeah, like how has sustainability been integrated kind of into your life?
Yeah.
I love, well, it's, we're in quarantine, so I don't thrift shop as much. So online thrift shopping is very new to me. So I've been doing that. I guess a lot of, I do a lot of DIY. So I think like before I've been doing a lot of eco-friendly stuff, but I guess just talking to other creators, I'm part of EcoTalk.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So part of the other creators, you just learn from your peers a lot. And it's great to have that kind of support because they're in the same kind of boat as us, like in terms of following and in terms of what we want to do with our life.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Great.
I guess kind of just to start wrapping things up here as well, what we like to do at the end of our episode is have our guests share like either a story that they'd want to talk about or like a cool stat, just like a one little last key takeaway.
Like don't overthink it, like anything.
Whatever your intuition, yeah.
Just to leave it.
I think I mentioned that you're supposed to throw away your mascara every 3 months. I don't think people realize it. And you can develop eyelash mites in your eyelashes if you don't, and that could give you eye infections and actually make your eyelashes fall out.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I have another fun fact. Did you know that mascara, lengthening mascaras contain synthetic, like they have synthetic fibers that attach to your eyelashes to make it longer? So it's basically plastic.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, so the money's
blocking off. Yeah, that's why lengthening mascaras, you may have like little specks, and that's the plastic.
And then also when you're like washing your makeup off, like those microplastics, like those little small pieces are now like getting into our waterways and stuff too.
Yeah. So people don't realize that, and waterproof mascara contains different like plastic ingredients, polymers, to make it more waterproof. So usually natural mascaras are not really waterproof, but mine is pretty water resistant.
Wow.
That's a great, really unique stat.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. It was really great meeting you.
Thank you. It was fun meeting you both.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. If you would like to learn more, visit us at www.last20.ca. Until next time, stay sustainable.